Hi, and welcome back to the Beyond the Peloton podcast. I'm your host, Spencer Martin, and we are talking about Tour de France bets. We're doing a last-minute betting preview episode. The tour starts on tomorrow, on Saturday morning, and I guess morning if you're in the U.S. So tune in for that. I actually don't know how I'm going to watch it this year. I have a Flowbikes account, but I don't think they're airing it in the U.S. So we'll go through this process together, and I'll let you know how I found it. I guess I'll use a VPN to hide where I'm browsing from. Say I'm from Canada, and that's how I'll stream it onto my TV. But we're just going to do a quick episode where we go through the betting. I think just whatever's open on BetMGM. There's a lot of sports books out there that Americans can't use, a lot of like interesting ones. I know Lantern Rouge is an Australian YouTuber, and they have like much more complex and advanced betting sports books down there. So you can do a lot more interesting things. So we're kind of doing some primitive. It's like you can just bet on like the overall, some of the point, like the young jersey, the green jersey. There's a few special props, which is literally just throwing your money away, and then also stage victories. But I want to do an announcement where I'm offering a daily Tour de France newsletter that's going to be analyzing each stage and then doing a quick preview of the coming stages. And there'll be some nitty-gritty betting info in there as well. So sign up for that at beyondthepeloton.substack.com. You can also sign up for the general newsletter as well. It's still free. And let's get into some of these bets. So I also want to say I made a mistake. I sent a newsletter out this morning, and I said Thibaut Pinot has never podiumed in a Grand Tour before. I had a listener reach out and say I was actually incorrect about that. He podiumed in the 2014 Tour de France. I feel really embarrassed about that, and I feel bad. I'm slandering Pinot's name, saying he's not ever podiumed at a Tour. That was a really weird year. If you remember, Vincenzo Nibali won, and then Jean-Christophe Perrault was second, which I doubt many people would get that quiz question right. And then Pinot was third. He was like almost 9 minutes back, but he got on that podium. And so I was going back through, I was thinking, oh God, I can't believe I forgot about that. I went back and looked at this. So his record was actually in forgetting about his good result, I actually found I misremembered how bad he is. So he's done 12 grand tours and he's DNF 6 of them. And he actually hasn't finished. The last Tour de France he finished was in 2015. He got 16th. And then he's not finished the race since then. That's really bad. Like really bad. Like I kind of can't believe he's being talked about like a contender when he literally can't finish the race. And he is like, I love the guy. He's like had a cute video where he's like saying bye to his goats before leaving for the tour. But he's just not going to win this thing. I can't believe people are getting sucked back into this. And this comes from like someone who loves Thibaut Pinot and has bet on him many times in the past to win the tour and always been disappointed. I mean, if we even think last year, he just couldn't finish the race. And then this Giro d'Italia in 2018. Just couldn't finish the race. And then Giro d'Italia in 2017, he just fell apart in the last stage. And like, those are some of his better results. A lot of just a really bad record at finishing 3 week races. So I wouldn't count on him, but let's look at the overall bets really quick, or the odds for the general classification. Primož Roglič on, actually, I watched Lantern Rouge's betting preview on YouTube earlier today, and in Australia on his betting site, Bernal's actually the favorite, and Roglic is not the favorite. But on BetMGM, Roglic is still the favorite at +175. He's actually, yesterday when I wrote the newsletter, he was at +200. On his partner allegedly was saying that he might not even make it to the tour because he's so hurt from his Dauphiné crashes. And that caused him to slip a little bit, Bernal to surge. But apparently that news is not bothering the betting markets like it was earlier. He's moved back up to +175. Bernal's back down at +225. Tom Dumoulin's moved up a little bit to +650. And then Pinot, I mean, he's the fourth best, the four shortest odds at +750. It's like, Like, we all get sucked into this every year. Like, don't fall for it. He's going to fall apart. Tadej Pogacar at plus 1800. Julian Alaphilippe at plus 2500. That's actually moved quite a bit since yesterday. Pavel Sivakov at plus 2500. Alaphilippe has actually moved from yesterday, or I'm recording this on Thursday. I'll release it on Friday. So on Wednesday, he was at plus 3300 on BetMGM. And moving up to plus 25 is... it's a big move for 24 hours. We'll go through the odds and I'll talk about it. So Sivakov at plus 2,500, Emmanuel Buchmann at plus 2,500, Nairo Quintana plus 3,300, Miguel Angel Lopez at plus 3,300, Danny Martintidis at plus 5,000, Fabio Aru at plus 30,000, David Formula at plus 30,000. And then we also have Kalender at plus 3,300, Sepp Kuss at plus 5,000, Adam Yates at plus 10,000, Enric Mas at plus 10,000, Romain Bardet at plus 10,000. I mean, this is just a poo-poo platter. Guillaume Maltin plus 10,000, George Bennett plus 10,000. I mean, none of this is going to happen. So this is interesting. Richie Porte, he was like one of the favorites years ago. He's at plus 10,000. Oof, how the mighty have fallen. I think this is going to... I've talked about this in the newsletter and on the podcast. I think this is burnout. The contenders here are Bernal, Roglic, and Dumoulin. You know, we don't really know the health of the wild cards are Roglic's health. His partner is saying, oh, he's so hurt he might not make the start. I have a hard time believing that she's just like speaking to reporters without checking with him or his team first. That seems a little odd. I smell some sandbagging there. Bernal, we've heard less about. He had some mysterious back injury. He wasn't looking that good at the Dauphiné, but he didn't look terrible. Like, if his back is okay and he's progressing, you know, he's gonna be up there. Tom Dumoulin looked not great at the beginning. He looked okay at the beginning of the Dauphiné. He looked great by the end. I really like him. Really like him for this. He's like flying under the radar. No pressure. Carapaz plus 1400. He got dropped at Lombardia. I mean, he was training for the Giro, so it's understandable that he's not in top form for this. That doesn't really work well. You pull someone out of preparation for another race to the last second that's a month later and ask them to go to the biggest race in the world and win it. I don't like that at all. And we've seen him get dropped. Like, we kind of, the proof was in the pudding where, so 2 weeks before the tour, he can't hang with Remco Evenepoel, who's really strong. But like Jakob Fuglsang, Bauke Mellema, Giulio Ciccone, Vincenzo Nibali, I mean, those like guys he should be able to hang with. Tadej Pogacar, he looked okay. He looked actually, so that final stage of the Dauphiné was insane. Like one of the fastest mountain stages in recent memory. And he was one of the instigators and he almost won the stage. So if we're going by that, he's in really good form. Julian Alaphilippe, I don't like him at all. He's not going to win the Tour de France. Yes, last year was as good of a shot as I'll ever get. And he didn't win. They even called off the last two mountain stages and he still couldn't win. And he needed that to even stay in the top 10. Yeah, I don't love him as a three-week winner. What if, you know, COVID cases are surging in France? What if the race gets called off halfway through? He could win. The more I think about this, the more it's unclear to me what they would do. If there was a French rider winning at the time, they would probably try to crown him Tour de France champion because they're desperate for one. They haven't had one since the 80s. Would the sportsbook respect the win? I guess they would have to, but the UCI rules are so vague on this. It's a little, I don't love this tactic of trying to like foresee a canceled or shortened Tour de France and then lead the bet in on that. I think it's just not worth it. So leave Alaphilippe alone for overall winner. Emmanuel Buchmann, he crashed really hard at the Dauphiné. There was, you know, talk that he wouldn't even start this race. And now they're saying he's going to be competing for the win. I don't like that at all. And he didn't win in a much weaker field with a much weaker field last year. He had a great ride, but he wasn't anywhere near winning. Pavel Sivakov, I like him a lot. Plus 3,300. If stuff really goes sideways at Ineos, or I guess they're called Ineos Grenadiers, because Ineos, the petrochemical company that sponsors a team, is like making a massive gas-guzzling SUV. So yeah, I can't think of a more perfect brand rebranding for a cycling team than like an SUV that takes up a ton of the road and guzzles gas. Yeah, that's an odd partnership. to say the least. I'm going to call him Ineos. I'm not doing this grin into ear stuff. So Sivakov, if, you know, it would really have to go sideways. But, I mean, let's say Bernal's not good. It's his back is bothering him. He just doesn't have any, he doesn't have the form. The back's kept him from training. He can't win. Carapaz, as they pulled him out of Giro prep, he can't win. You know, these are, let's just go with me here. This is a hypothetical. You know, Sivakov looked really strong at the Dauphiné. He had a bad crash on the last stage, or a hard crash. I bet that's affecting him somewhat. But he was the strongest Ineos rider at that race. So it could stand the reason he would be the strongest Ineos rider at this race. And then, you know, if there was long time trials, I don't think he can win it. But, you know, in this, there's a 36 kilometer time trial on stage 20. He could win this thing. I mean, it's not a sure thing. He could win it. It's possible. He's probably not going to, but plus 3,300, throw a few bucks on him. Mikel Landa. No, he's not going to win. I can't believe people are talking about this. He's proven to us that he's just not going to win this race ever. And he's 30. And we're still like, he just loses time in the first 15 days. And then like pulls time in the back half of Grand Tours, pulls it back. But that's only because I think he's one of the most talented climbers in the world. Like no denying his ability. But he's gaining time on a lot of these stages because he's lost time and he's not a priority. So it can be a little deceiving that everyone's like, oh my God, Landa's like, he's closing in on the lead. It's like, well, he's not like totally marked. And it's, you know, if he wouldn't have lost the time early, it would be more difficult for him to get the time later in the race. He's not built to win a Tour de France. He just isn't that type of, doesn't have that type of personality or mentality. Nairo Quintana at plus 3,300. I kind of can't believe we're even talking about this. Once again, like Pino, there's no one I'm a bigger fan of, but I've lost a lot of money betting on Nairo. Lopez, no. I mean, they call him Superman Lopez. They should call him Yo-Yo Lopez because he's just always yo-yoing off the lead group. You know, he'll be there. He gets dropped. He gets back. He gets dropped. He doesn't have the form to win this thing. Danny Martinez, I did, full disclosure, I put a $5 bet on him after he won the Dauphiné. I win like $1,000 if he wins. He's currently at plus 5,000. He's not going to win. I think I kind of overreacted there. You spend your $5 elsewhere. Spend your $5 on Subcoos instead. I did put $5 down on Subcoos at plus 30,000. No, wait, no. What's he at? Plus 5,000. Things would also have to go sideways at Jumbo. Dumoulin, both Dumoulin and Roglic would have to be out of the picture. But, I mean, Coos was like the strongest rider in the world at the Dauphiné. At the hardest race, that last stage, we talked about how hard it was, historically difficult, and he just drops everyone on the last climb. That shows you where he is. He is flying right now. Likely not going to win, but, you know, at those odds, it's worth throwing a few bucks down. And then we have, like, Alejandro Valverde at plus 30,000. That's not going to happen. Warren Barguil at plus 30,000. If you're new to cycling, you don't know who he is, and you don't need to know who he is. He's just going to disappoint. Fabio Root, another guy who's, you don't need to know, plus 30,000. Actually, I mean, so I should be, Barguil and Root could win stages. Ooh, crazy thunder. And even Valverde. Yeah, he's looked incredibly old this year. So maybe not him, but Barguil and Root could potentially win a stage. David Formolo, he's not going to win the overall, he can win a stage. So let's get into some of the, they have these crazy prop head-to-heads that generally I would say avoid these like the plague, but we'll just go through them. Some of them are kind of interesting. So will a rider from France finish in the top three? Yes, plus 110. No, negative 154. You know, I would say this is a trap because it's like, well, what rider from France would finish in the top three? You're thinking Alaphilippe or Bardet. No, historically, no. I mean, Bardet's not been who he used to be, and Alaphilippe probably won't podium since he last year, it's like the best tour he'll ever have, and he was sixth, I think. Let me look that up. I'm paranoid. I'm paranoid about getting a result wrong. Never again will I go off the top of my head. My Lord, that's embarrassing. Thank God I checked. Fifth overall at the Tour de France last year. See, that's why you look it up. But yeah, he's not going to podium. But here, this is where it gets interesting. Guillaume Martin, who we talked about during the Dauphiné Libre, he looked really good. He's a pure climber. He can't really do anything else. He could be an outside shot at the podium. You know, if there was a bet that, you know, would he finish on the podium, that you would rather take that. The odds are going to be way longer. This is like a backdoor into that. But no, I'd say no. Will a rider from Germany finish in the top three? Plus 300. Yes, plus 300. No, negative 500. Normally, I'd say yeah. I'd say Shackman or Bookman could potentially podium. But they just got so beat up 2 weeks ago. I don't know if I see. I mean, Shackman broke his collar. He got hit by a car and broke his collarbone at the Giro di Lombardia. So he's probably not going to podium. And Bookman got really hurt. I just think no. Will a rider from Great Britain finish in the top three? You got to think this was written for Thomas or Froome. Plus 1,000. Yes. No. Negative 5,000. Actually, let's see what that is. So, yeah, so you bet $50, you win 51. So you win $1. So if you wait, you know, if you bet 100, you're laying out $100 to win $1 of profit. No, I don't love that. But I mean, who from Britain could? You know, maybe that is a good bet, actually. I mean, no, this is insane. I mean, if this was a lot of time professional gamblers will do, like, how long is the national anthem going to be at the Super Bowl? And, you know, it's like never been longer than 3.5 minutes. So, you know, maybe they'll get really bad odds for like 4 minutes, but it's just free money. You know, they can get like a 10% return on your money, you know, for 30 minutes. That's pretty good. But for this, it's 3 weeks long. That's a lot of money to tie up to get any type of return for 3 weeks. And then you'd have like Adam Yates get on the podium and you'd lose a ton of money. So I don't like that. But I do like this. Will Adam Yates finish in the top three? Yes or no? No, negative 10,000. Let's look at this. So you bet $50 to win 50 cents. Yeah, that's still that terrible. Head to head. These are a little weird. Head to head. Primoz Roglic, Egan Bernal. You know, but you're going to get worse. You're just getting worse odds than if you just bet on the overall generally, because one of these guys will probably win. So you bet on Roglic, you bet 50, you win 92, so 42 a profit. You're just better off betting on him to win. Egan Bernal, same thing. If you think he's going to beat Roglic, well, okay, this is where it gets interesting. If you think, no, I mean, I don't like that at all. Enric Mas finishing the top three. No, I mean, these are crazy odds. Let's say you bet $1,000. You're walking away with 10 in profit. It's just nuts. But he probably won't. Miguel Angel Lopez, Nairo Quintana. Actually, so this is interesting. This is really interesting. Will Nairo Quintana finish in the top three? You lay out 50 and you win 250 in profit if he does. Yes, plus 500. No, negative 1,112. Actually, I don't hate that. I mean, let's say you bet $10. Let's put that in. You're winning 50. I don't think he's going to win. I could see him on the podium, though. That's not crazy. And then, will a rider from Russia finish in the top three? And so Sivakov grew up in France, but he's technically Russian, so he would qualify. Yes, plus 900. Let's just say you put $10 on that, and you'd get $90 in profit. You get 100 back total. That's interesting. I don't think he's, yeah, I think it's very unlikely Sivakov wins, but these lower podium spots, as we saw in 2014, Pino just grabbed third, certainly doesn't have the pedigree of a Grand Tour winner, but you can get some goofy riders in the bottom half of that podium. Will a rider from Spain finish in the top three? No way. Will a rider from, I don't know why these are grouped together. Will a rider from Austria or the USA finish in the top three? Yeah, let's say yes. Let's just say we're betting on Sepp. It's funny because, yeah, so you bet $10, you'd get 80 in profit. If that was just Austria, if it was just the US, the odds would likely be much longer. The Austria part, I think, shortens that. And then we have like, oh, they said, okay. So this is where it starts to get really interesting. Head to head, Egan Bernal, Thibaut Pinot. Let's say you bet on Bernal, negative 334. So you bet 50, you're getting 15 back in profit. But let's say you think Pino is going to beat Bernal. And what happens if neither of these riders finish? I guess you scratch the bet. So you bet 50 to win 150 in profit. That's if you believe in Pinot, you should bet on that. You'd think, what if Bernal drops out again? You know, so Bernal drops out because of back pain. Pinot finishes 100. You win that bet. See, I think GC, it's a little, it's all the wrinkles are kind of ironed out. We know it's going to be Roglic, Bernal, Tom Dumoulin, possibly Pogacar. It's crazy saying this. So the last winner of the tour was Egan Bernal. And then before that, so we're starting a race with, we have the winner from the year before, but then I don't think there is another Tour de France winner in the field, which is wild. I think that, so in 99, the year Lance won his first tour, I believe that was like the first time in a long time that there was no former winner at the race. So it's kind of similar to that, where people didn't, it was absurd to think Lance Armstrong would win the race, but just because there was no other, you know, absurd things have to happen when there's no other Tour de France winners there. You're going to have a crowning of a new champion, like a ringing in of a new era. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I mean, Bernal's won the year, he's won before, so it wouldn't be totally shocking if he wins, but it would certainly be cementing this as the Bernal era and kind of signaling the rising of the young guys. And so I think it's going to be Roglic, Bernal, Dumoulin. I mean, only one of those has ever won a tour before, and Bernal's not exactly like an accomplished Grand Tour rider. He's done two in his life, one. Pino's not going to win. And then Pogacar, Sivakov, Quintana. I mean, those are all kind of absurd. It's absurd to think one of those would win the tour, but I think like Pogacar is like the fourth most likely guy. Sivakov, fifth. Quintana, sixth. It's wild looking at this, but I think that's about right. And then maybe Carapaz, I don't think he's got the form. I maybe he'd be the seventh most likely person to win. So it looks odd. It can deceive you. You can start to second guess yourself and say, oh, Primoz Roglic isn't a Tour de France winner, but in these funky tours like this where you don't have a lot of pedigree, you don't have a lot of former winners, you just have to like recondition your brain to, you know, just follow the logic. Don't sit around and meditate on like, could Primoz Roglic win the tour? Because that was just going to deceive you. A lot of people thought that about Lance Armstrong, and he went on to win many, many Tour de France's. So the points jersey, this is Peter Sagan's won this, I think, every year since 2012, except for the year he got kicked out. I think that was 2016 on stage four. It looked like he pushed Cavendish into the barriers, but he actually didn't. But the jury didn't review the footage. They just kind of went on what they saw in the moment. So he was erroneously kicked out. I think Michael Matthews won it the year that he was kicked out. And Michael Matthews would probably win it this year, or at least be seriously contending. But his team, just decided, let's not bring him. No one has any idea why that happened. It sounds kind of funny to say, but he complained like literally every interview of every stage last year about the team and that he had to go to the tour without advance notice. No, he was training to be a domestique for Dumoulin. Dumoulin got hurt, and then they asked him to win stages, and he couldn't win stages, I guess because he hadn't been training to do that. And then he just complained. I don't know if that's why they're not taking him. That would seem like an odd, petty reason to not do that. But he is flying right now. He's in really good shape. I think he would win this thing, but he's just simply not here. So we have Peter Sagan at -139, Sam Bennett at +400, Wout van Aert at +600, Giacomo Nizzolo at +900, Caleb Ewan at +1000. I think that's all we have to mention. No one outside of that is going to compete for this thing. We could say Christoph, who's competed for it in years past. He was at +10,000. Now he's at +6,600. But he's fallen off quite harsh in the last, I'd say, like 18 months. Sagan has not looked in fantastic shape. He's won this thing in worse shape, I think. He did get fourth at Milan-San Remo. That the Poggio was climbed incredibly fast. I mean, Sam Bennett is in great shape, and he got dropped. So that shows you how fast it was. And he just kind of quietly got fourth. He got second in the bunch sprint behind Michael Matthews. So we know he's in passable condition. And the Dauphiné was super hard, so he will have gotten great training from that. You know, maybe he's like maybe he was just always peaking for the tour. He thinks he can go and win a bunch of stages. There's a lot of stages that suit him. A lot of like these medium hard. It's like not mountainy. It's hilly. It's not a mountain. It's a little bit bigger than a hill. It's not a traditional sprint finish. That's where he thrives. So this thing is set up for him to really run away with this jersey. Sam Bennett's strong. To win this, you really got to like get in breakaways on some of these mountain stages and steal points in intermediate sprints. I don't think Bennett can do that. Wout van Aert would be, I think he would be the favorite by far to win this, but he's going to be stuck on team duty. He's not, you know, he won a stage last year working for the team, but he was not in contention for the green jersey when before he crashed out on stage 15, or maybe that was stage 13 actually. He's not even going to come close. He's going to be busy. The only thing that could happen is if Sepp Kuss, Tom Dumoulin, Primoz Roglic all crashed out and they just let Wout go. Maybe he could win it. Caleb Ewan, he was close last year, but he was on the podium on seven stages last year. I'm just looking at I was surprised. I deep dove into the first week in the newsletter this week, and I was surprised how hard it is. And then when you look at the profiles, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4 truly flat stages that he could win on. So his opportunities are going to be extremely limited. And he's more of a traditional sprinter. He's like in a flat, fast finish. There's no one better, but he's just not going to get that many of them. And he really struggles in the mountains. He could miss a time cut. So yeah, I wouldn't bet on him at all. So let's just assume Sagan's going to win. That's the most likely thing to happen. There's all these head to head. So like head to head, Alexei Lucinko or Alejandro Valverde. Don't bet on that. That's ridiculous. I mean, this is like a trap by the odds makers because they both probably are very good at picking up random points, but no one's ever really paid attention to where Valverde or Lucinko finishes in the points jersey. And you just like pick on the name that's familiar to you. And then it's a coin flip. But so head to head, Caleb Ewan or Sam Bennett? Ewan at plus 155. Sam Bennett at negative 223. Lantern Rouge had a good point where he was saying that this should be about even money, that Ewan's better, that he's going to finish higher in the points classification. I tend to disagree with this a little bit just because there's not these traditional stages. You know, Bennett is, I think he's stronger. He's stronger on the climbs, as evidenced at Milan-San Remo, where Ewan got dropped like 20K for the finish, and then Bennett almost held on to the finish but got dropped like halfway up the Poggio and then finished a few minutes back. Once again, these are really tough. I mean, yeah, you could bet on Ewan and you could think that it's an inefficiency, and then he gets kicked out of the race because he misses a time cut, which does happen and could happen to him. Head-to-head, Julian Alaphilippe, Primoz Roglic. Alaphilippe at negative 139, Roglic at 100. So let's look at that. We bet $50, we win $50. And the points thing is weird. I actually think Alaphilippe, from a stage win point of view, he could thrive at this race. He could win a lot of stages. It's like they designed a Tour de France for him. It's a lot of like punchy climbs. It's like all these springboards right before the finish. He could have like 3 or 4 stage wins at this thing. So let's look at the odds. You bet 50, you win 36. Bet on him there. Have fun. I'm not going to do it. But then you get all these goofy ones. So head-to-head, Luka Mezgic, negative 154, Matteo Trentin, plus 110. I actually love Trentin here. I think this is one of the biggest inefficiencies. Trentin's like a Peter Sagan light. He's better than people give him credit for. He is, you bet 50, you win 55 in profit. I would go with that. I think that's a little undervalued gem right there. He's not going to win the whole thing, but if let's say Sagan crashes out, can't finish the race, he would be my dark horse to win it. And Luka is a strong Slovenian rider, but he's not nearly as versatile as Matteo Trentin. Here's a really the young riders jersey. This is normally fought between young riders who are not fighting for the general classification. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about. But this year it's just basically a proxy for the overall, because Egan Bernal, Tadej Pogacar, Pavel Sivakov, Danny Martinez are all in this classification. So if you think Egan Bernal is going to win the overall, you should bet on him here to win this thing. So if Primoz Roglic wins the overall and Egan Bernal gets second, you know, you would still win this bet. So it's actually, it's a good hedge if you think Bernal is going to win the overall. But if he doesn't and he gets beaten by an older rider like Tom Dumoulin or Primoz Roglic, you can kind of save some of your losses here. You know, it's really just who you believe. If you believe in Bernal, if you think he can win the overall, let's say if you think he can be in the top three, you should probably be betting on him here. I mean, everyone else, Pogacar, Martinez, Sivakov, they're kind of outside shots, say, at the podium. So none of them are at the favorite status that Bernal's at. But if you want to have fun, you know, if it's like you're really just putting a little bit of money in here to have a good time, I mean, Sivakov could be interesting. And Pogacar's not a lock, but I mean, let's say you put $10 on him. You could win 25. Yeah, that's not like the most fun thing in the world. Yeah, you'd really have to believe in him to do that. So let's look at the mountain classification. This is Julian Alaphilippe at plus 350. This is a kind of a hard classification to explain, and I don't totally understand it myself. You would think in theory, the winner of the overall would be the best climber, but the way they do it, it really incentivizes, you know, getting to the top of a lot of the climbs, not even just mountains, first. No overall contender is going to expend the energy to do that. So that's where someone like Bardet could really win, but Alaphilippe is interesting too because he doesn't care, like he doesn't conserve energy. So Bardet won it last year with Egan Bernal second. So if Alaphilippe didn't win it last year, I have a hard time believing he's going to win it this year. And then you look at like Thomas de Gent, I don't know, Warren Barguil. I mean now this could get interesting. If he's in any type of form, this is a classification he should be going after. So you bet $10. To win 160 in profit. That's pretty good. Problem is, if you're going for the overall, you're probably not going to win it. I'm actually surprised to see that Bernal got as close as he did last year. He was only 8 points behind Bardet. And I'm shocked to see Alaphilippe so far down. I mean, that's a little funny that my conventional wisdom would have been that he is a lock for this thing. And the betting markets kind of back that up. But yeah, I don't know. If he didn't win it last year, I don't really understand how he's going to win it this year. Now, let's look at team. This is like Movistar's wins this every year, but Jumbo, they're not going to win it this year. They're terrible this year. They've lost a lot of the good riders, and the ones they still have are riding terribly. This is almost like a lock for Jumbo-Visma. You bet $10, you get 15 in profit. Do that. Free 15 bucks right there. Ineos isn't going to win it. It's Ineos at plus 450. UAE Team Emirates at plus 500. EF at plus 600. This is Jumbo's to lose. That's your lock right there. You can't lose. But there's a lot of there's a lot of prop bets you could waste a lot of money on. I would just steer clear of those and have your simple guiding light be, this is going to be, and this goes for if you have a fantasy team too. I mean, Velo Games is a great fantasy league. I would highly recommend playing. I actually should set up a league right now, but I'm not doing it. They had to like rebrand. They can't call it the Tour de France. It's called like the Big Race. But I'd say your rule of thumb is going to be, this is going to be a tour for the young guys. So, you know, go with like Pogacar, Martinez, not necessarily Sepp Kuss because he's working. But just steer clear of these like big names. I think that's the theme of this tour. The big names might struggle, the big established names, and the small guys, not the small guys, and the young guys are going to shine. So just look to youth. Watch out for sprinters. I was shocked when I went through the stage profiles how few pure sprint stages there are. I think it's going to be a really rough race for the sprinters. So Caleb Ewan, maybe steer clear of him on your fantasy team. Look for someone more like a discount sprinter, like Giacomo Nizzolo. Someone who's going to pick up top five, top tens on those sprint stages, but there's just not going to be the volume to really justify spending a lot of money, either real or fake or fantasy, on a rider like that. And if you want to stay up to this race stage by stage, please sign up for the newsletter at beyondthepeloton.substack.com and rate and review the podcast if you like it and share it with others if you think they'd enjoy it. So have a great opening weekend for the tour. I think it's gonna be a really tricky opening weekend. This is not gonna be a regular sprint stage on Saturday. It's a some climb. I mean, Nice is all these roads are so tricky. It's gonna be. I think we're gonna see an Alaphilippe win on one of the 2 days, and possibly if this was 5 years ago, I'd say Sagan. It's a little unclear if he's got the form. I mean. Maybe this might be when Wout van Aert might get 2 stage wins. He might get one here and then one on the last stage of the race. So enjoy the race and thanks for listening. I'll be popping in more than once a week during this tour. The crazy stuff's going to happen and I'll be here to talk about it with you.